Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Welcome to our show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we need you to share on your digital platforms. And the reason is because over half the country still remains very ignorant about what's going on, and if we're going to mount sufficient resistance to stop what's going on, short of a miracle from the Lord, we need your help. We need the marching feet out there, so please share this far and wide. Part of the show is brought to you by Hear the Watchman Conference, and it's interesting. You've heard me mention this off and on our broadcast here. I'm going to be in Dallas on March 17th through the 20th for the Hear the Watchman Conference, and I'm one of the presenters, and I'm going to have a little special booth that I can sit around and talk to you guys on. And yes, I'm looking forward to meeting all of you. In fact, if you use the code DAVE20, you can get 20% off. HearTheWatchman.com is where you go. And also, too, you can link to it on thecommonsenseshow.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a banner for eyes to see, and you'll see Hear the Watchman there. Click that on and go ahead and register. I'd love to see you. We also have on-demand if you can't travel to Dallas. We have on demand. I hope you can travel there because I want to meet you. So remember, hearthewatchman.com, Dallas, March 17th. And also, we're brought to you by MPS, My Patriot Supply. And if you've learned nothing about what's going on in Ukraine, I hope you've learned that when you've got to leave your place quickly or emergencies hit, you have sometimes no time to respond. The shelves will be cleaned out. And the food you have in your house is what you've got. Do you have enough? Most Americans have 3 days. So we're asking you, please, get prepared now. It's amazing. MPS has not raised their rates. In fact, actually, on the 4-week bug out, the sales are still on. Same with 3-month and 1 year. That prices have not gone up. They're shipping on time. I can't tell you how long this is going to go on, though, especially if the war fortunes change or if Putin makes good on his threat to attack our grid by a cyber attack. So go to preparewithdave.com, and everything you need to know is right there. And if you have food, you darn well better have water. And so we're really pushing the Alexa Pro Pure Water Filter. And really, the research says it's the best in the business, and the research is at waterwithdave.com. But you're going to have to scavenge for water if the grid goes down. I mean, if you don't have power, folks, it's going to be hard to get water for very long. So you really need to have something to filter the water. And I believe that two is one and one is none. You're going to need to have more than one of these. We have three. And there's a good sale on right now. They haven't raised their prices. And I will tell you one thing about this water filter. The manufacturer does not overproduce by very much of the projections. So therefore, when emergencies hit, every single time they sell out. And I'm warning you right now, there's still some left, but I can't guarantee they're going to. And you're going to have to scavenge for water if the grid does go down. You'll have to go to lakes and ponds and streams and swimming pools or whatever. And you got to be careful. And if you got those 50-gallon drums like I do, yeah, I know how I have the drops to put in. I still won't drink that water without filtering it. And I really recommend you do that, the food and water. And listen, our rate of return here on the advertising for these two products is relatively low. We could be making a lot more money. Why do I have this on here? Because I think we're going to be in a crisis mode where you're all going to need these things. Biden is on a one-man mission with the help of his administration to take down this country. He's done nothing to improve the country. He's done everything to hurt the country. It's exacerbated the war situation that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. And you're going to need to be self-sufficient. You're going to have to be prepared to be on your own for a while. And we really do believe that here at the Common Sense Show. So that's why we're pushing these products, because we're a nation of procrastinators. And really, I have my moments too. And I'm really trying to get you guys off dead center. So please take advantage of these opportunities while they exist. Hear the Watchman. I really, really look forward to meet any of you who are going. And speaking of Hear the Watchman, we have one of the two founders, Mike Kerr. The other one is his lovely wife, Jeannie Moore. Oh, she is the delightful one in the couple. Sorry, Mike, I had to say that. Your wife is so terrific, Mike, but you are too, my friend, and it's good to have you on the show. And we thought we'd have Mike on today. We're both men of God, and in fact, you've even heard Bob Griswold and I recently talk about the potential role of the Lord and what's going on here. And this is going to be no different, and we're going to address current events from our perspective here, going through Mike's eyes. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, it's interesting times, my friend. I've been doing this now for 15 years as I got dragged into this fight by John McCain, who tried to steal the property without compensation of me and my rural community. And I didn't want to do this. I was happy. I was happy being a college basketball coach. I was happy teaching my psychology courses. I was really happy. I had a good life. I didn't want to do this. And honestly, I'd rather be doing that than doing this, because that was positive. This is dealing with excrement every day. But we got to do it, Mike. And let me ask you, start off before we get into the current events part. Do you think we're in or near the tribulation? Are we in those end days? What do you think?
Well, you know, Dave, that's a good question. And I always advise people that I talk to on my show, you know, if you hear somebody tell you they know the date, run.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so, you know, but the thing is, all the signs are pointing to that we are nearing the end times. Will it come in our lifetime or our children's lifetime or our grandchildren's lifetime? I don't know. But everything's heating up. If you can step back for a moment and look at the last 3 years, what's happened leading up to today, it's frightening. I mean, it truly is frightening.
Yeah, it is very frightening. I'm on the fence about a lot of these things here right now, because God did not bless me with his wisdom. I just can only hope to approach his wisdom. But as we look at these things unfold today, I just look at it and I see a lot of Gog and Magog potential, and Damascus being wiped out in a day. I don't know if you know this, Mike. This is not being reported, but I have this from my military sources. We're doing military drills in Syria, air, land, and sea, and so are the Russians at the same time. I mean, you could have trouble breaking out right there. And in the Bible, talks about the final conflict, Damascus is gone in a day.
Yeah. And we all need to pay attention to that. We don't need to be afraid, because God's got this. But as you mentioned earlier, you sure need to be prepared. And you need to have the information to make educated decisions. I love what you talked about the food and about water. You know, we are we prepare up here in the mountains for a variety of reasons. But people aren't as prepared, and they need to avail themselves of that. I mean, if you look at, I mean, let's just look at the Ukraine and what's happening there. It's an atrocity. And the more you look into it, and you see that Putin has now gone, moved his family into some underground facility that could survive a nuclear war. He's rattling the nuclear ticket. And the other things that he's doing right now don't exactly present a logical leader. And it's frightening. I mean, you look at the attacks that just happened, where the Russians took out the TV station over there, and the innocent civilians that are in the line of fire right now. That is all the stuff we read about in Revelation in the end times.
Yeah, I know. I know that's what I worry about. And people need to take care of their business. I mean, you know, if ever you had to max out your credit card for necessary survival supplies, this is the time. I was looking at some of the people in Ukraine, and they talk about their bug-out experiences, and they said, we could grab what we could carry in two hands and the clothes on our back. Well, if you have a bug-out for My Patriot Supply, at least you'd have some food. And this is why I'm telling people, you need to think preparation right now. What would you need in the immediate, and what do you need long-term? And my list is food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, and communication. That's my short list. And if people can't respond to every one of those in the positive, then they're going to be left out. Their savings is going to be wiped out. People say, you can't eat gold. That's the most ignorant statement I ever heard, because a crisis is going to end. And if you and your family survive it, if you have put your resources in precious metals that'll survive where fiat currencies will fail, you'll be wealthy compared to other people who did what some people are not preparing to take care of. And they just don't understand that, Mike. And it's just, it's frustrating to me. It's kind of like Noah when he built the ark and people mocked him.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting how, a lot of us have done exactly what you have done. I mean, you look at Steve Quayle, you know, he's been doing it for 30 plus years. People thought he was nuts. They think L.A. Marzulli's nuts. They think we're nuts, you know. And all of a sudden they're saying, wait a minute. You know, if you look at COVID, I mean, look at the agenda here. Can we talk about the agenda?
Yeah, you bet.
The agenda, if you look at what happened, they, you know, introduced this fake bug, the plandemic, right? Which I understand, yes, it devastated the nation, whatever it was, bioweapon, whatever it was. But they did that. As soon as that starts to drop off, what happens? The Ukraine kicks off. And so now the country's adamantly afraid of what's going to happen, especially financially. And you look at Joe Biden, the guy is a puppet. He doesn't have a clue at what he's doing. But all of this is going on, running at a level of inflation that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. And now war breaks out in the Ukraine, and he sanctions the Russians, so does the rest of the world, which makes the ruble nearly worthless. And yet at the same time, we have U.S. interests trying to get their money out of the Ukraine, and they can't. And it's like, where does this all end, Dave?
No, you highlighted one key point right there. I don't have an answer for where it's going to end. I have several ending potentials, but I will tell you this. The fact that Biden didn't even consider the welfare of Americans goes right hand in hand with leaving 9,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. His people do not care about this country. They are here to destroy this country. That's their only mission. And I could go through point by point by point and say, this is how you take down a nation. I mean, Mike, this is, you're talking about ending point. I'll tell you where it should have ended. When this was heating up and there was the potential for Russia to invade Ukraine, and they know that Putin needs oil to do it, and the Americans could have the ability to embargo that to the free world, then he should have resumed domestic production of oil. That's the only thing you do, and you're facing a potential war. What if Putin goes into Czechoslovakia or to Poland to further expand his empire desires to rebuild the Soviet Union? See, these were predictable events that were known to us. Putin started gathering troops almost a year ago on the border, and yet what did Biden do? Nothing. Nothing. Only his climate agenda is a cult. It's like a religious cult led by Satan as the high priest, and he'll do nothing. I mean, he'll have America lose a third world war before he would restart energy production in this country. He's a traitor. You go to the border, you look at the border, 100,000 mostly young males were killed last year by fentanyl sent here by the Chinese, delivered by the cartels, and he just has a blind eye into the border. So there's many ending points, but this Ukraine crisis would end if Biden would embargo and if he would resume oil production. It could end right now, but he wants a war. He doesn't care if it's nuclear. And I'll just answer one more thing here to say this is where I know this is headed. In 2014, Obama tried the same kind of crap to provoke a war with Russia over Syria. And the international community didn't permit it. And so Obama failed. Well, the same thing's happening today, only this time they've learned from their mistakes and they have us on the doorstep of being annihilated by nuclear weapons. That's the answer for where I think the end point is.
Well, and it's sad, Dave. I mean, you know, when you have a president like Biden in office, what are they going to do? They're lame. I mean, they have like a 30% approval rating. War is good for them, you know. And I mean, even he just is, as you mentioned, a complete traitor. What he did in Afghanistan was horrific. But then look what Hillary Clinton did in Benghazi as well. You know, I mean, it's like ingrained in their psyche to just abandon the American people and do whatever they need to do to promote their own agenda. And that's where we're at today.
Yep. Yeah. Landing points also have short-term and long-term possibilities. And it's such a good question you asked, because it's like a maze when you enter trying to answer that question. But the Democrats and the deep state have also planned long term. And here's what I mean by this. You watch what happens. I've been predicting the rise of Hillary for over 2 years. I have mentioned it in at least 10 articles and probably a half a dozen podcasts. And I said, she's not done. She's coming back. Oh, she's finished. She's in bad health. Well, she's back. And this is the scenario that I believe is coming, Mike. Number one, Joe is going to be gone before long because of the 25th Amendment. And I think the State of the Union could reveal that. And we're recording this one day before the State of the Union. So by the time you hear this broadcast, the State of the Union will be about 10 hours old. So I think that Joe Biden will reveal himself to be incompetent to continue in power. He'll be gone. Kamala will be in charge. She'll appoint Hillary as vice president. And Kamala has another problem, Mike. And I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this, but I have this out of the State Department, and it's an irrefutable two sources out of the State Department, that it's pretty well known in some circles. Obama and Jussie Smollett were really good friends, and they concocted the race, the hate race fake crime that never really was. And because Obama wanted to keep his hands clean, he put then Senator Kamala Harris on this. And she facilitated bringing the parties together, and that could be leveraged against her to resign from the presidency for whatever reason. And not only do I have it from the State Department, I know someone who works in a federal agency that I'm not going to identify because it's too easy to narrow down, who works in South America, who also knows this same story, because the lawyers involved in the Smollett side of things, some of them are from that area, and he knows the story. So they're planning long term. So if Hillary is in, they've lined up their long term solution if this doesn't produce the war they want.
Well, and, you know, we have a problem, Dave, as conservatives, and especially as Christian conservatives, where we were quiet for way too long. You know, and now we're all starting to speak up, but that's not always easy to do. You and I have problems when we speak up and tell the truth, where we get knocked off the air.
And keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I mean, here, you know, we are, just to understand the insanity of where this race card gets played. I think it was last week or the week before, the Biden administration announced that they were going to focus and make a real effort on environmental racism. What is it? Environmental racism to start with. You know, what is that? And then he appoints a full-blown trans gender, whatever they want to call themselves, to head up the disposal of nuclear waste in our country. And it's like, you know, if I could talk to him just man to man, I'd say, dude, what are you doing? And the inflation is going to take this country out. And now the war in Russia and what's happening there, it's going to take the U.S. economy down if we're not careful and we don't do something about it. But let's focus on environmental racism. What, you know, I just, at times, it just boggles the mind, the depth of their deception.
I don't have an answer. I mean, it just, it's like they're blind to everything but their agenda. I saw Psaki ask the question, are you going to resume oil production? No, that won't help. And wait a minute, any economist who's worth their salt, any Econ 101 student would tell you that this is what you need to do when you go into war. And this could also be used to paralyze Putin's oil output. I mean, here we are preparing to go to war with Russia, and they're one of two nations that supply our oil. What kind of sense does that make?
Well, it makes no sense. You know, and it's, we've all seen the pictures, too, of the pipelines. And then they'll show the pictures of the mining and dump sites for the car batteries, the new lithium, you know, and all that, and how that makes no sense. It is baffling to me why you wouldn't turn the oil supply on to domestic. Why you wouldn't do it right now. The environmentalists, you know, I don't even think they're as worried anymore about it. I believe that the whole thing with that oil issue in the United States is, again, Dave, their way of controlling us and keeping us under their agenda.
That's true. There's absolutely no doubt that what you're saying there is correct. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. To me, we're in such a mind-boggling situation. It's like, okay, the world's falling apart over here and here and there, and yet we're going to stay focused on imaginary science of climate change. Do you know when they did the climate change? They called it global warming then.
Right.
They were meeting in Kyoto, 25 years ago. And they fooled around for 6 days and partied and had fun on the seventh day. And the last day they said, oh, we got to decide something. So they voted whether or not global warming was man-made. Voted. That's how the science was done. They voted.
Well, you know, it's crazy. I mean, and that's why, Dave, you know, when we put together the Eyes to See conference, we, at that time, really all we were dealing with was an economy that looked sluggish, and we were dealing with COVID and people waking up to COVID. And we felt that as Christians, it's necessary to gather again and look at what we need to see moving down the road. Well, now it's even more important than ever because, you know, the Ukrainian thing is not going to go away anytime quick. It's going to go on, in my opinion, for a little while to come. Who will jump into the fight over there? I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that when people ask me, Dave, are we on the brink of World War III? It's kind of, we may already be in it. What do you think?
I think if we go to full-fledged, yes, I think history will judge the fact that we're in it now. The course is not irreversible, but here's something I've had discussions with Doug Thornton, former Marine contractor in DHS, and he sees Putin losing control and that the he's going to be removed, and he thinks he's going to be removed by the globalists. And to validate his opinion, Putin has issued a no Rothschild on Russian territory order. That's absolutely true. On the other hand, I presented in the same interview the notion that it's going to be the Russian oligarchs that control the banks, the rubles down to nothing. The oil is in danger depending on what the West does. And these oligarchs aren't going to put up with Putin, who's screwing up their economic fortunes, and they'll remove him. And so we kind of debated, who's it going to be, the globalists or the oligarchs? And then you've got Russian troops who are running out of gas and tanks on the way to the capital city in Ukraine. And Russia is an exporter of oil, and they're having trouble getting oil to the tanks. No, they're not. This is called battlefield commanders dragging their feet. Everything we're hearing out of Russia right now and the troops, they don't want to do this war. In fact, when they were starting the conflict, they were told it was a drill. They were lied to. So I think Putin's in big trouble. He's going to be taken out. But, Mike, here's the end game. He's a caged, wounded animal. And if there is knowledge that he's in trouble and he knows about this, I think he will not hesitate to unleash nuclear weapons on the world.
Well, I would have to. I don't like the fact that I agree with you, but I would have to agree with you. And I pray that, you know, the Lord steps in and we see this thing come to somewhat of a peaceful resolution, but I just don't see it right now. You know, I think that your assessment is great because you follow the money. And the people in Russia right now, financially, that run things have to be very, very deeply upset. And they're going to use their power to, like you think, to overthrow Putin. Now, the next question is, what happens after that? You know, I mean, we keep going back to that. You know, like, what do we see in the future? And, you know, I'm kind of the consummate, everything's going to be okay, God's got this. But circling back, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm sitting here having ice cream sundaes every day. You know, you must pay attention, folks. You must. I mean, I hate to keep bringing him up, but Steve Quayle has fascinating articles on his website.
Yes.
As does Dave, about what's happening. You know, what the truth is. How hard do you find it right now, Dave? And sorry to turn the interview over at you.
We're having a discussion. That's okay.
How hard do you find it right now to truly get the truth out to people?
I'm interfered with constantly. As you know, I've been trying to hook up. There's been five attempts at communication in the last 2 weeks with Sheila Zielinski, and I have failed on 3 days, or she has failed, through no fault of either one of us. And we've managed to have a couple conversations and one interview in that, but we wanted to do two more for various reasons, and we've been unable to. I mean, that's probably the most flagrant example. And then, of course, there's the steady stream of interference. If I'm interviewing, when I was interviewing Doug Thornton the other day, the theme from the NFL came in over the interview. I'm not playing NFL themes when I'm, you know, the music for the NFL.
Right.
I'm not playing that on my broadcast, and I know Doug wasn't playing it in the background either. He didn't even watch football. So that happens, and I mentioned about, you know, Bob Griswold and I getting cut off in midstream where his entire phone system was taken down, and we had to finish the interview on his cell phone. So that's how difficult it is for me. And then there's the censorship question. And then sometimes my emails back and forth with Steve Quayle, they don't go through. And I've had articles pulled off my website, as has Steve. In fact, I've been notified this morning's article that was up there about China is no longer up there. So I've got to go research that when we're done here. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but I could go on even longer. How difficult is it? It's extremely difficult. But here's the most difficult thing. It's not what the other side's doing to me. It's what's really going on with regard to prophecy. You know, I am an optimist, and I see nothing in the Bible to contradict this belief, although I recognize that I'm probably in the minority and my probability of this being true is low. But, you know, I think we're in the end days, generally speaking. Exactly where we're at, it's hard to say, but I think we're in the end days. But I'm dumb enough to believe that if we all got on bended knee and said, Lord, we repent and we're here to worship you and do your will, we could have a change of fortunes because God might remove the judgment he's placed on this nation and really across the planet. And we might be able to push the end days back to a later generation. And I don't see anything to contradict that in the Bible, that we have to be the ones that are in the end days. But the way we're going, I think there's no question that's where it's headed, unless there's a dramatic revival.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but that's what we need to do. You know, as Christians, we need to fight back and fight as hard as we can. Now, see, I get the same questions you get all the time, and when I try to tell people, you know, let's pray and let's give this to God because God's got this. I, you know, some of them are like, well, Mike, what would you do? I mean, if you were on the train tracks and there was a train coming at you, would you just kneel down there and pray for that train to stop? I'm like, of course not. I'd get out of the way. So a lot of it as Christians, we can get out of the way of it, but it's our responsibility to look at the big picture. Look at the big picture and ask the Lord, what is it you want of me to serve your people while my time is still here?
Yeah, I know. That's where I'm at too. So that's what motivates me to fight to make a difference. And this might be the final reprieve the Lord allows us the freedom to fight against this before we go down the unescapable tribulation into the 7 years and so forth.
Well, I you know, it could be. And you know, we have been so fortunate in the United States for so long. And we've also turned our back on God and Christianity. And we're kind of paying the price now, don't you think?
Well, yeah, Obama said we're no longer a Christian nation. And I think that that's definitely playing in now. Yes, yeah. I mean, we reap what we sow. We're under judgment.
Yeah. And that's why, guys, I mean, you know, I hate to sound like an infomercial with you, but any way that you can avail yourselves of the Eyes to See conference, you got to do it. We want you there in person so we can meet with you, connect with you, bond with you. You know, all you really need to do is go to our website, hearthewatchman.com. Dave's got it up on his site. And you know, take a look at who's going to be there and who these speakers are. And they're the who's who in the prophecy world. And you want to connect and be educated about what's going on. Because, you know, what scares us all is the lack of knowledge or the lack of truth. That's what's scary to me, Dave. It's not so much, you know, that missiles are going to land here in the States. It's just the lack of good information. And we want you to avail yourself of the information that you need as Christians to get through these times.
Right. Yeah, that's you're bringing up excellent points here. And I think that at the end of the day, people have the ability, and Steve and I have talked about this too, Steve Quayle. Survival for America may not be possible, but individual salvation is. And you can't control what your neighbor does. You can try to influence it, but you can't control it. But you sure can control the future of your soul. And that's why I really encourage people to avail themselves to do things like go to Hear the Watchman conference and find a Bible-believing church, which is really hard to find today. And if you don't find that, then do home worship. And Mike, that's another thing. I think that I'm actually going to write about this next week. The church has totally let down the faith, totally. And to find a real Bible-believing church that's not afraid to apply Scripture to what's going on in the world is a rarity, because they all want it to make money. And they're all protecting their 501c3, where you can't say anything political. And I'm thinking, well, if you can't say anything political, then you don't belong in the pulpit. But unfortunately, it's most of our churches. How do you feel about that?
I'm right in line with what you're saying. It's a sad day in the American church, the brick and mortar church. You know, we have it here, the Watchman Zoom fellowship calls that we do on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And, you know, they have grown exponentially. Why? Because we don't worry about what we say in these meetings. We and like Dr. Michael Lake is our guest tonight on the Zoom fellowship. I mean, he just tells it like it is.
And let's tell people, now, like I said, this will be airing a day later, so this will have already played, but you have it on Wednesday. What are you doing on Wednesday?
Wednesday nights we do what's called our Warfare Wednesdays, Dave, which is we talk about spiritual warfare. People talk about what's going on in their lives and how they feel they're being attacked, and we try to give them the tools to get through that. On Thursday nights, we do what's called We Are Two, which is pretty much a worship service. And we have people preach like Jamie Walden, and we've just had a wide variety of guys come on and just talk. And they talk about the truth as though they Let me take that back. They talk about the truth, the way the truth is laid out in the Bible, and they're not afraid. You know, you go to a brick and mortar church now, Dave, and go in and ask a pastor about the Book of Revelation, and he'll look at you 90% of the time. He'll look at you as if, well, it's there, but we don't talk about that, because they don't want to talk about stuff that might be scary. And the Book of Revelation really isn't scary, you know, but they don't want to talk about it. And they don't want to take a stand when it applies to gay marriage and all that, because they're afraid of what it will do to their donors. What will happen if one of their parishioners gets upset with their position and stops donating? What do they do? And we don't worry about that. I mean, we just prevent a platform where the true men and women of God can speak their peace, and we don't worry about what will happen with it. We just want the people to be blessed. And we do it all for free, guys. Anyone's willing to join on our Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night calls.
Yeah. I think I've told you this before, and my audience has heard me talk about it, but it bears repeating. It was 11 months ago that at one of the largest churches that has several campuses in Phoenix, one of the assistant pastors got up and said, well, Timothy 2 and Romans 13, and the leader may not be a godly man, but he's God's man, and you got to do what he says. And I was thinking, okay, I'm fine with that as far as you've gone, but what where's the exception now? What if he tells me I've got to go be a concentration camp guard and put people to death? I think I might draw the line there. I think I have to follow God's law before I follow man's law. And there was no disclaimer. It was left that you must always do what the government tells you to do. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah. You know, it goes back a long time. Let me tell you, you know, kind of a little side note. My stepson got in the car when I think he had just started high school, and he's an adult now and all that. But the topic of motorcycle helmets came up because I don't like being told, you know, what I have to do. And he said, well, you know, the government is only here to protect us, and they know what the laws are that need to be written to protect us from ourselves. And I was like, where did you come up with that? And he's like, well, that's what we talked about in school today.
Yes, I was going to say that. I was going to pull the words out of your mouth, Mike.
Yeah.
Sounds like public school to me.
Yeah. And this isn't, you know, especially with our younger generation, this isn't something that they just started doing. I mean, the groundwork for this has been laid for a long time, Dave. And again, you see, we as conservative Christians or conservatives, period, in the country, became way too complacent. And the enemy became loud and vocal. And now we're dealing with the ramifications of just that happening, you know, and which is why it's so important for all of us to stand up as Christians, especially, and lead this country back to a time where we have values. Because I don't know about you, Dave, but when I go outside in the public and wander around, go to the grocery store and all that, it's like, where did the values go?
Yeah, I have a bigger reaction than that. I agree with you. Where'd the common sense go? Where'd the intelligence go? I mean, you walk into a DMV, and I'm thinking, this is the cross-section of America. We couldn't win any war.
Oh, yeah. Oh, where are we going to get the soldiers to fight? You know, I mean, there's not a lot of Jamie Waldens left in the world.
Yeah, I know. There's a cartoon I saw. I'll try to describe it because the visual effect is undeniable. You've got a soldier in boot camp who's putting lipstick on, and
yeah,
they have long eyelashes. And then you've got the drill instructor that's screaming at him, and he says, "Drop and give me 20 pronouns." Yeah, I mean, does that kind of say it all today?
Yeah, and it is where we are, you know. And the only way to change that is to fight against it.
It just didn't say. You know, and I'm an old man, and I'm not bragging about me. I'm saying this is the declination of our society. When I go into the gym, and, you know, I've lost strength and I've had injuries, but I look at guys in there in their 20s, and I outwork them while I'm there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm closer to 100% of my capacity than about 99% of the people I see. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying this is typical of my generation.
Yeah, it is.
I look at the guys I went to high school with and how successful so many of them are and how educated we all were. We knew how to write papers. We knew how to do research. And we were products of the public school system. But today, I look at people in equivalent positions that I occupied. And honestly, I hate to say this, with some exceptions, my son being one of them, they're a bunch of dummies.
Yeah. And it's not their fault.
And wimpy dummies. Wimpy.
Yeah. You know, we have a country right now where some kid wearing skinny jeans making $60,000 a year will look down on a guy that's welding or in the construction industry making $120,000 a year.
And who's doing manly work. Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's frightening.
Well, there's a war on man. You know when I really saw that, Mike, the war on manhood was, and I even heard a criticism of it on the 700 Club, and I agreed with it at the time. It was in the late 80s, early 90s, when the media began to show fathers of families as being incompetent, weak boobs.
Yep.
Stupid people.
Yep.
I mean, well, that's when it started, and that tells you how controlled Hollywood is.
Yeah, and go to a organized sporting event now, like a soccer games or something like that, and see what happens when a kid sprains their finger. It's like they call a medevac, you know. Oh, poor Johnny, are you okay? When I grew up playing sports and stuff and got knocked down and knocked out, my dad'd say, "You're okay, get up, get back out there," you know. I mean, but we don't do that anymore.
Oh, like I played football when I was in high school, football, basketball, and baseball. And on defense, I played either outside linebacker or strong safety. And so you're always taught that when the tight end releases and crosses the middle, whether they're throwing the ball to him or not, you put him on the ground. You just smack the crap out of him to make him afraid to run an underneath route if they're really going to go to him. And I used to do that routinely, and I loved doing it. And it was a typical tactic. Today, if you do it, you're going to get ejected for targeting.
Right.
We've sissified the game. In pass defense and football, you can't put your hands on them. It's ridiculous. When I played basketball in high school and college, you know, you used to be able to hand check the offensive player, and now you can't put your hands on them.
Yeah.
We have sissified everything that was masculine. I mean, look at the quarterback. I mean, you have pass rushers that are afraid to hit the quarterback. And I'm just using the sports examples to show how sissified we are.
Yeah, it amazes me.
It's incredible when I watch just sporting events and how we've taken the kind of the Roman Colosseum out of our sports, which really sports used to be a manly effort. You know, and I'll give you one in the public schools. This is one that just irks the living crap out of me. I know of situations where person one attacks person two at school. Person two doesn't want to fight, and they just kind of roll over in a ball while they're being kicked, and both get suspended for the same amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, look, if you want to know where I've finally said this has gone completely over the edge, I don't know the person's name, but it was that it's these guys who are claiming that they're women competing in the collegiate swimming events. And you look at them, and their bodies are clearly not built like the women's bodies. And they're winning over there, and they're trying to say, like, no, we have the right to play on the women's team. You know, because we identify as a woman.
Oh my gosh, I know.
You know, and it's pathetic that it's even allowed to be considered. It's just crazy. You know, and
well, it's the removal of boundaries. I mean, it's like inviting Satan to speak at your church.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's no difference. There is no difference. And but like you, I have hope. You know, and the hope that I have is in Christ, and that's what we're going to all be about in Grapevine, Texas. And I just want to remind your listeners of one other thing. We were able to get the discounted room rate pushed off, so I think it's good through the 5th, so you can still get your group rate on the hotel rooms. And don't forget to use a code when you're buying tickets for the actual physical event of Dave 20, and you get $20 off your tickets. So,
yeah, $20 off, right.
$20 off. So get out there, you know, come out and join us. I mean, let your voice be heard. And so any way you can join us, please join us. And Dave, we're like so thrilled to have you back there again for another conference. And we're going to be there, guys. Hopefully you will.
Yeah, it's I'm honored to be there in the company of such strong Christian people. And it's people have asked me, I get this question all the time when I'm on other people's talk shows. And they asked me, Dave, what do you think it's going to take to get back to normality in our country? And I have a two-word answer, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We can't do it on our own society. Our society is so lost right now. I mean, you just hit it. I mean, you have men or women and women or men, and there's three bathrooms, and who the heck wants to do this nonsense? It was funny. I was talking to a family who they have a choice to put their kid, the kid's a really good athlete, and put their kid in a Christian school where he'll never be seen by college recruiters, or go to the local public high school where they have three bathrooms and they're a Christian yeah. family. So they chose the Christian school, and they're sacrificing the athletic future of their kid, but they're okay with that because of the character issues involved. See, I don't think families should have to make that choice, and if we were a Christian nation, we wouldn't tolerate this for 2 seconds.
No. I mean, back in my day, you know, and I'm not young like you, you know, but back in my day, that never would have happened. I mean, it just would have been so repulsive to everybody. They would have said just no. Like Nancy Reagan, just say no to drugs. It would have been just say no to transvestites, you know. And I don't know, you know, this whole thing of how do you identify? And I mean, it just boggles the mind that we've come to this, and the pronouns and all of that. I mean, I'd hate to be in law school right now. Can you imagine writing a contract that had to be, you know, binary to everybody, you know, all anybody that thought they were this or that? You know, I don't get it. But the answer is, as you said, Jesus.
Yeah, that's the only answer. And this is why I think a rally is possible in our country. But without Jesus, there will be no rally. We will have the Antichrist in our time for most of us. We will have Armageddon in our time. And this should be enough to scare people. But, you know, you just look at normal health issues, okay? People engage in lifestyle decisions that shorten their lives and threaten their lives. And they know it despite knowing the risks. You know, like it's like smoking, just as an example. Why anyone would smoke today is just beyond me. And I don't mean to be critical of smokers. I'm just saying the health risks are well known. And then they can't understand it when they're on oxygen when they're 55 years old. We don't look ahead to the consequences. And the consequences of being a godless nation is to be ruled by Satanists whose middle name really could be genocide.
Absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely correct. And now's the time to wake up, America. It's, you know, so often when we talk to people about getting prepared, both physically and spiritually, for the times ahead, people are like, yeah, I'll get to that, you know. And it's like, well, when it starts to happen, I'll make sure I'm taken care of. So that didn't work in the Ukraine. That didn't work in the United States when we had riots and when we have hurricanes and floods and earthquakes. When it happens, it's too late. Then you're on your own. So
It's like food preparation I talked about. If Putin takes down the grid today, by tomorrow morning, the shelves will be empty. That's a fact. I mean, we saw that in Hurricane Harvey in Houston. The shelves were empty in less than a day.
Well,
and then nothing's going to get shipped, so your just-in-time deliveries that come six times a day to Walmart and large department stores and large grocery stores, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
People don't realize this.
Look, we're a country that ran out of toilet paper because we were afraid of a pandemic. So just think when something really hits the fan, what we're all going to have to put up with. And I'm not talking, folks, just on the physical side. I'm talking spiritually, too. Get it together now, you know. Get it together now before it's too late.
Did you know that a lot of Republicans are going along with the national vaccine passport?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I don't know. I identify as a redneck, so don't ever expect me to agree to any kind of a vaccine passport. That's for sure. But
no, I don't agree with it either, but the Republicans. This is why I'm saying this, Mike. I say this almost daily on YouTube and one broadcast or another. We need to unelect everybody. The Republicans must be removed in the primary if they're running for re-election, because they could stop what's going on if they really wanted to, and they don't. They're prostitutes that drink from the same trough as the Democrats. They take the same donations. Facebook donated to 150 Republicans in the House of Representatives last year. So when you look at that, I'm saying, okay, vote out all the Republicans in the primary and then vote out all the Democrats in the general election. Now, although I will say this, elections don't mean a lot either, because we haven't made one electoral change from the election that was stolen in 2020. There's still the same forces in play. Same voting machines, same ballot procedures, same criminal, what do you call it, county clerk and recorders. It's just horrendous what's happening. But I look at this, our whole government has failed us. It's not just Biden. The Republicans are just as bad.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I think we need to start from scratch.
Yeah, I remember I was talking to Doug Hackman one time, and I told Doug, I said, Doug, do you agree with this? I said, Trump would be better off having you and me in there. And even though we might not have expertise that he can get in some of his advisors, we'd have the best interests of the country at heart, and we'd have his back. Because we were talking about how he was being betrayed all the time. Right. And that's really true. I would rather take, you know, Jane Doe off the street and make her the Secretary of State if she loved the country.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have that now. And you're right. We need that. You know, that goes back to everything we've been talking about on this show today, Dave, is that we need to return to values in America.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, one thing I would tell people to also, and I've been asked this question before. When I came to hear The Watchman in September in San Diego, someone asked me, do you think it's safe to bring my kid? And I said, it's not only safe, it's advisable. And I just want to let people know, the content is fellowship and Christian-based, tied to current events. And I'd say that's a theme that describes probably 90% of our presenters. And they just bring their own level of experience and expertise. But it's done in such a way that young people need to be hearing the truth in a non-graphic, very civilized format. And it's perfectly, I think, advisable to bring your children to this. And I mean, obviously, I think they need to probably be 11 years age and up, I think, to really benefit from it cognitively, to understand what's going on. But certainly high school and middle school kids can benefit from this too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing scary at these conferences.
Oh, it's straightforward truth.
It's straightforward truth and hope.
Jesus Christ, salvation, and how should you be living your life if you're a true believer? Or if you want to be a believer, what can the faith do for you?
Absolutely. That's it.
And it's just, and there's never been a more critical time in human history to have conferences like this. I know we're not sold out yet, so this is good for the people, but it's bad for the faith, because This conference should have sold out on the first day.
Yep. The world has changed. And it's, I'll tell you, the people that are there are going to be the true soldiers for Christ.
That's true. They're the leaders. Mike, we're flat out of time here, so I just want to thank you for coming on again. HearTheWatchman.com is where you go. And if you use the coupon code DAVE20, you can get $20 off. Our guest has been Mike Kerr, one of the co-founders, along with his lovely wife, Jeannie Moore, of Hear the Watchman. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Dave, thank you, and God bless you for all you're doing.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.